High-speed rail is in the stimulus package, so when does Amtrak get started? This is the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham. It was a simple question. There's $8 billion for high-speed rail projects. You wonder where Amtrak's going to start. Turns out Amtrak doesn't actually make that decision. The Federal Railroad Administration, part of the Department of Transportation, makes the decision, but not before it goes through the hands of all the state's governors. Mark Magliari is a spokesman for Amtrak. He says they have submitted a plan.
The FRA and the USDOT has reached out to the governors, asking them to submit their information too.
It's more complicated than I ever imagined it would be.
Ah, well, I can't speak to the quality of your imagination.
When might we see faster, high-speed Amtrak trains hooking up the cities of the East Coast, the Midwest, and the West Coast?
I'm not going to speculate on the speed under which the FRA will make its grant decisions and which grant decisions it will make. That would not be our call.
We do know that any project under the stimulus plan has to be started within the next 18 months. So now Amtrak basically has to hope each governor understands not only his or her own state's needs, but how their decision might affect a high-speed rail network. Otherwise, you end up with something piecemeal, something like the interstate highway system, where you can go 65 miles per hour in one state, 70 in another, and 80 in yet another. Hey, slow the train down. We're entering Illinois. This is the Environment Report. Toxic inhalation hazards. They're a class of chemicals that have that notorious name. Basically, if you inhale them, you die. Now, on the flip side, these are useful chemicals. I mean, take chlorine, for example. It purifies drinking water. The government feels some toxic inhalation hazards are so important that it forces railroads to ship them out. So freight rail companies then have to buy really expensive insurance. Sean Ali has been covering this. Sean, you found the railroads now want the chemical industry to pay part of the cost of this insurance. What prompted that?
Well, Lester, if you go back a little bit, there was one rail line that paid out a big-time payment for an accident in Graniteville, South Carolina, back in 2005. There was a tanker car full of chlorine that ruptured, and there was this big cloud of gas. 9 people died from that gas. I actually found one of the survivors. His name is Phil Napier, and he's a firefighter who was on the scene.
It basically took my breath, and all I remember is making a U-turn heading north, but I ended up south. There's a time zone in there that I have no memory.
So far, that railroad accident cost the railroad company about $400 million. And that worries people like Ed Hamburger, who heads the Association of American Railroads. Hamburger says it's not fair that the government makes these railroads carry these toxic inhalant hazards and carry the risk that goes with them.
Several of our members have said if they were not forced to, they would not carry it because of that liability threat.
The railroad industry does have a solution in mind, though. They want the chemical industry to chip in some money to insure chemicals while they're in transit. That way, maybe the chemical companies would think twice before they ship out stuff that could kill people. Marty Durbin is with the American Chemical Council.
With regard to the argument that the chemical industry needs an incentive to make safer products, frankly, we've got all the incentive in the world.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to ask why 9 people died in one accident and there are still rail cars of the same stuff traveling around the nation.
Yeah, the rail lines argue that if the chemical industry shares in the insurance risk, maybe they have an incentive to create safer alternatives to their chemicals.
Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome, Lester.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Lester Graham.
Support comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can hear this report and get more information at environmentreport.org. The Environment Report comes from the University of Michigan.